Go. Hello, everyone. My name is Alex Bridges, ABDL author, and I have Miss Mei Ling on the line, and we're going to talk a little bit about her creative process and plans for the future. Mei Ling is a professional DOM, and we're going to talk about her roles that she plays for her clients and how she got into this and what is in the future for her. So before we jump into all that, where can people find your work?
You can find everything in a one-stop shop, which is my website, missmailing.com, missmailing.
So thank you again for making time for me and my audience today. Let's start with you telling me about the genres and fetishes that you work in.
There's so much that I dabble in, but I'm going to narrow it down because I can talk forever about everything. So my top ones that bring me the most joy is diaper play, forced by giantess, and toilet play.
So a lot of crossover in those. How'd you get into those? How'd you come across those?
Let's see. Forced by came across when a client asked me to actually set one up, and I had always been fascinated with it, but having the actual action of like pushing his head onto a dick, I was just like, yes, this is what I want. So thank you, client. Diapers was when my puppy Cade had introduced it to me. And yeah, at that point I like had no idea about anything with diapers, and it was just like one of his main kinks, and he introduced it in a way where I got excited and was like, let's explore this more, to the point where I love doing it all the time now.
So I would say that probably almost all of my listeners are wondering how your puppy was able to do that in a way that you found attractive and arousing, as opposed to alarming and a total turnoff.
Yeah, this is something specific for this kink, I believe, because it's very taboo, right? It's very yeah, it's a certain topic where people skit around and whatnot. But I believe a straightforward as to like, hey, this is my first of all, when you introduce someone into your kink, you set the precedence of that kink, right? So if you're coming into the kink saying like, I'm not too sure if I should share this with her or with him or them, but maybe like they'll like it, then that's already a no-go. If you don't have confidence within your own kink, then that translates over more than anything. So it's being like, hey, I'm really into this. Let me show you all the things that we can do with it. See, that added information of like, let me show you how to play in this realm, is really helpful. So that's just a bonus right there of being confident with your kink, accepting your own kink yourself, right? And then providing all the information of how to play in it in a fun way. And giving that information in a way that they would like, right? So he knows that I love power. So when he presented it, it's like, here's diapers. You can use it like chastity or like bondage or like this. And it's like, oh, I see all the ways of which it can play with the power control aspect. And so that worked out really well.
I think that's something that a lot of ABDLs don't necessarily think of, because we think about diapers as an adult baby fetish or a diaper lover fetish, but we forget that there's also this diaper domination, which is different than just diaper lover. And there is bathroom use denial. So those fetishes as well. So it really very much is something that works great in other contexts, whether it's around power or around humiliation as well.
Totally.
And of course, it really helped you and your puppy that you're obviously both kinky and knew it.
Yeah, our communication is wonderful. It's basically presenting the information in a way of which it crosses over to other things that we would use in our play.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you just say, here's diapers, I like to wear them, the person would be like, okay, like, and like, give me something to work with here.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's, no, it's taboo for different reasons, right? I mean, it's taboo because some people associate it wrongly with, you know, kids, other people. And this, mm-hmm. I think, is really easy for people who are into diapers to forget bodily fluids. I think totally. that's people need a reminder of that because it's, if, especially if you're 24/7, like you're probably in a wet diaper almost all the time. And to forget that.
Be careful. Don't get a diaper rash.
Absolutely. And people, you know, forget that other than ABDLs, just walking around with bodily waste is really not okay to most folks. So, you know, people forget that. And then tell me a little bit more about Giantess. I've always found that interesting, but not really something that I'm into personally.
I started this in person, first of all. So that was very interesting, right? My clients... I'm a petite, small person, so I'm like, great, you want me to be a giant person? Okay. And it was really fun. He just, like, laid down on the floor and made himself really small, and I had, like, really high heels and stuff. And it's just, like, playing with a bug, you know? I'm going to crush you. Mm-hmm. You're so tiny and helpless. I really enjoy how creative I get to be with that, right? And I believe that when you're playing with someone who's into the giantess role, they're really good at putting themselves in that mindset of how tiny they are. So if you're both in that correct mindset, it can be really fun. And then I just started doing it with video content. And that's all about playing with camera angles and yeah, picking them up in the palm of your hand and almost dropping them, blowing them off of your hand. But I did one clip recently with Diaper Perv, and it's about being shrunken and diapered. So we're about to change someone's diaper, and as we put the baby powder over them, it shrinks them. And so now they're just like this tiny, tiny little human inside this giant crinkly diaper. So like, how much better could it get, right? You already love diapers, now you're enveloped in a giant diaper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot of crossovers, and it's super fun to play with like different things, not just giantess.
And I really like that POV videos, because it does allow for some creativity that you don't necessarily have if you're doing a non-POV where there is that second person in the room, and whatever fantasy you want to sort of instill, playing with camera angles or just by putting the viewer into the position of that second character. I really love those. I think those are terrific and a great way to do stuff that you can't just do normally. No one in our industry has like Spielberg style special effects at their disposal.
Yeah, that would be so much fun though.
It would be. One of these days an ABL is going to get control of a major studio and movies will never be the same.
Oh my god, I can't wait.
Yeah. So you know, it sounds like this all comes from a personal interest, and then you decided to become a pro dom. So what was that decision like?
Yeah, I was doing this as a lifestyle for, let's see, 6 years, 7 years. And that's how I traveled the world, just like learning from everybody in different communities and stuff. And it was amazing to see the world in such a way, right? Connecting with people. And then suddenly they were like flying me out and putting me up in penthouses. And I was like, wait a minute, I can make money off of this. And so I just like made it my job, and it's been fantastic. Getting to live the life that I want to live and connecting with people consistently and all the time and sharing, you know, something so special and dear to my heart with people around the world. It's great.
So when you think back to that, you know, the first content that you made that you shared with other people, do you remember what that was?
I didn't start making content until last March because of quarantine.
Oh.
Because I was doing everything in person before.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened and I was just like, well, time to learn a new skill and, you know, branch out into another part of the industry. So clips was the next thing. And I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, everybody starts from somewhere. So let's just go for it. And to this day, my very first diaper clip, which was an ASMR diaper clip, is one of my top sellers. I just like played around with the crinkles of the diaper close to the mic and like hearing everything and whispering. And yeah, it just worked out really well.
and what was that kind of that transition like though? How is it different? I mean, there's obvious ways that it's different, but from your perspective, what makes it different trying to create video content to be consumed by anyone versus in-person content, or not content, but in-person sessions to be enjoyed by a particular person?
So in-person session, I curate it so that it's very specific to that individual. For clips that I make, I curate it to my liking. It's what I want to do. Because there's a camera, right? And it's not going to give me any reactions. And if I'm going to be authentic to myself and continue to do what I love, I need to, you know, do what I love, which has been translating very well because people are just like, wow, your clips are very different from other people's. I really enjoy it. And I never really watched other people's POVs. You should study and like see what other people are doing. But since I've been doing it for so long in person, I was just like, all right, well, figure it out. And it just became my own individual style. And it seems to work out really well. And doing stuff on camera just allows me to be so much more creative in a way where, like, if you were to do it in person, there's physical limitations, right? But on camera, the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. So now that you can go back to in person, are you going to continue making video content?
I am. I'm literally doing that right now. I'm doing in person and still releasing 2 to 3 clips per week. It's a lot to juggle, but yeah, it's really fun. And I'll continue to do it until, you know, I'm too busy with one or the other.
Talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of folks are kind of curious about what's it like and what it involves to be a video content creator. Because I think there's maybe a misperception out there that it's really simple to just, oh, I'm just going to film what I'm doing today and then I'm going to post it. And it's a lot more involved than that. It really is a job. Right.
People only see the finished product, right? Which is 10, 15 minutes clip. And they're just like, well, that's it. But what goes into it is from the beginning, your outfits, you got to shop for them. Your hair, nails, makeup, you got to shop for that too. You got to do your own stuff. And that takes time. If you don't know how to do it, you got to learn all those skill sets. And then lighting. Got to learn about lighting, right? If you're going to be on camera and the lighting's kind of crappy, then you're not going to really portray a dominant persona of who you want to be seen as. And it translates over. And then your camera gear, right? Importing all that stuff and learning how to edit. And that was a little obstacle for me, having zero skills in any of this and learning everything off of YouTube University all throughout quarantine. And then it's putting all that together and distributing it. You can distribute it, right? But also you got to market yourself in such a way of like, hey, now I have this product. I need to find people to sell it to. So you're doing all the steps yourself, unless you've hired, you know, an editor or whoever, which not a lot of people in the industry have the luxury of doing. Yeah. So it's a lot more work than people see.
Yeah. And if you do go out and you hire people to do those things, and you can look at some of the larger studios that are producing a lot of content with multiple models and all that, that mm-hmm. kind of takes it from, it stops just being your job and it becomes, now you're running a business.
Yeah.
And this, all the stuff that goes into that, I mean, from payroll to taxes, I mean, everything. And it really does get pretty complicated pretty fast. Even the content that I produce, which is just written, you know, the time to write, to edit, to decide when to post, where to post, managing multiple platforms, marketing myself through Twitter and through a handful of free places where I post things. It really is kind of time consuming on top of a regular job.
Totally. And on top of that, specifically with this kink, it's finding a place where you can market it and still be able to interact on that platform, right? Because it's such a taboo topic and people are like, I don't know. So it's very tricky.
Yeah. A lot of the adult sites have been cracking down on ABDL content.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are still allowing diaper lover content, but not the adult baby content.
Wow.
And then there's just the fact that when you do go to promote yourself, I mean, Instagram is a minefield. Twitter is the best place to promote yourself, but you can't just do a paid advertisement. You can't just, I'm going to, you know, make an ad for my content. You can't do that on the social platforms or Amazon or even Google.
Nope.
So it's not as simple as, you know, marketing any other type of product. You have to get through all these very opaque rules about what's okay and what's not.
Yeah.
And you never want to reach out to like support, just to, you know, reach out to support and say, hey, can I post this type of content? Because if you're flying under their radar, you don't necessarily want to bring yourself to their attention.
Before I use the platform, I will message them and say, hey, these are the things that I'm into. How do you feel about me bringing this onto your platform? Before I even invest time into using that platform, I want to know from the get-go, am I safe? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's smart.
Unless smart. They change it and you've already been on there and then you're just like, ugh.
Yep. Which happens even to very established content creators in the ABDL community.
Yeah.
Which, and this, all the stress and uncertainty that kind of brings to someone's life. I think this past week there was this, it wasn't a moderation issue. It was just a tech issue with Pocket Stars.
Mm.
And it wasn't just them either. It was some type of, you know, deep inside the interwebs type of tech provider had some type of outage that infected hundreds of sites, you know, major sites, not just adult content sites. And because of that, I think Pocket Stars is not able to take new subscribers right now. So people are
oh, wow.
not getting their subscribers, and people who are currently subscribed not able to renew. And that hits people in the pocketbook.
Wow. That's...
hopefully resolved soon. But that just always takes me back to one of my favorite refrains of, that's why it's important to pay for your porn and to follow your content creators in multiple places. So if they disappear from one, you know where to find them in somewhere else.
Definitely.
So let's talk more about your sessions. A lot of folks, they've never done a session with a pro dom or a professional mommy, or in any type of in-person play, maybe at all. When you get a new client, what's kind of the process for you? What do you want to walk them through to make sure they have a good experience?
From the beginning to end, it is them jumping through my specific hoops that I have set up, because there are so many people that reach out to you. You just got to weed them out, right? See if they're actually serious. And once they filled out the application, then that pretty much right there gives me a lot of information about them. And people are always curious as to like, well, how do you know it's safe for you to play with this client? And I'm like, girl, you go on dates with strangers off of Tinder. How do you know it's safe? So it's pretty much the same thing, right? You get a feel from their words, some interactions, some phone calls, and then from there you go and have fun. But I have a form, an application they fill out previously. Then we have some email exchanges, possibly phone call. And then again, when we meet in person, there's a little bit of time to negotiate further and have a few more questions and chats. And then you have the session itself, and then there's aftercare. So there's quite a few processes for every individual, for every pro dom. It's going to be very different of what her process looks like. Follow her rules, follow her lead. And yeah, it'll be fun. Just don't message her. The very first impression is very important, right? So the very first email that you send is an important one. That's the first thing that she sees. And if it's not like sincere or anything like that, don't even bother. Don't waste your time. Don't say, hey, can you dom me? And literally that just be your first interaction. Like, she gets messages all the time. So give some depth into it.
So I think this is actually really an interesting thing to point out, is that this is not like any other kind of business where you're guaranteed service just because you show up. So, you know, always remember that, because I think some people sometimes forget that and think that they have a business. I can just, you know, buy a service like I would buy it from any other type of business. Not at all the case. And then the other part of it is also a business. Reach out to them in a courteous way, in an intelligent way. Mm-hmm. You know, not as though you know them, not as though, you know, you're friends, or that you have a relationship that you don't have yet. And I think a lot of people immediately end up getting ignored or blocked because the first thing they'll do is address someone in a way that they did not ask to be addressed. Like,
not only
mommy.
That. Yeah. Not only that, but I can tell that some people want, like, you know, that close connection. They want a DS dynamic that's long-term, and they want all these things. And so they forget that there is so much buildup before you even reach that point, right? There's the whole, it's like, oh, I want to be married. You don't jump into a relationship and say that on the first date. Right? So how about you just take it slow, follow her lead, and then eventually, right, you're just in there with her, and then a year later, 2 years later, you're just like there consistently serving her, and it's evolved into like you being colored or something like that. So just give it time. Don't jump the gun and be like, I want to be your maid. Can I come over and clean your house right now? Sure, stranger. Yeah, let me just invite you over, who I don't know, into my own home. Like, that's not going to happen. No.
Yeah, I had someone reach out to me on Twitter just yesterday saying, hey, you're close to the state, aren't you? Like, what are you implying? Like, first of all, no, I'm not. But it's like, what are you implying? Like, one of us is just going to come over? And it just kind of makes you pause and say, like, you know, I get where folks are coming from. It's the place of loneliness and desperation, but also maybe also a little bit of a lack of emotional intelligence.
And then you encounter people like that. Like, I truly feel for them, right? Like, I'm empathetic. I get that you just want to connect with somebody and you might not have the necessary tools in order to do that, but educate yourself. Listen, like actively listen, do your research, and then it'll change, you know, just keep at it. But you got to work on yourself first. Nobody's going to, you know, drop everything and put in so much work in the hopes that you would change.
Yep. And I think the best thing that you can really do for yourself is to, if you're able to, if you have the community locally, is to find your local community and be a part of it first. You know, this, even if you don't develop any deep relationships there, it's still an opportunity to see this is how this actually works offline in the real world. And not only does it give you that chance to maybe do some in-person play, maybe for the very first time, but it's an introduction to how a fantasy works outside the internet.
Yeah. And it's also like, if you don't connect with anybody in that way, they're still going to be a great support group, right? You can still chat with them about certain things, even if you don't play with them. So it's definitely good to network and reach out and learn more from others and feel like you're not alone within that one aspect or that one kink.
Yep, for sure. So then when it comes to a session, what are some of your favorite session memories?
My most recent one is an ABDL session where I was mommy, and it was just so great to like have this full 2 hours and play with, like, I really incorporated story time with playing out that story time. So, you know, we would go cave exploring and bubble baths and destroying all the little bubbles if you had gained this superpower from drinking something specific. And yeah, it was just really fun to narrate in such a manner of, like, you know, to a age regression of like a 2-year-old, right? And actually playing it out. And yeah, it was such a good session.
And that's obviously very different than, say, doing a more of a physical domination session that doesn't involve regression. How does that kind of you know, play out for you? Just that difference between this person wants me to step on him, or this person wants me to hit him, and this person wants to have story time.
It's a complete different mindset. When it's story time and we get to reenact it and create that reality, I find it so much more fun for me, where, because I'm a more playful dom. And then when people come to me for a strict domination session, I'm like, sure, great. But then I have to change my mindset to that strict version of myself, where it's like, okay, we are by the books now, you know, like every little thing is an infraction and you're going to get punished, which can also be fun if I'm in that mindset, which, you know, can happen, but it takes a bit more for me. So when things are more fun, you know, I am more likely to hurt people when I find it fun than a punishment.
I like that. And I think that's also something that I'm coming to appreciate more. And I think it seems like the audience that I'm encountering more and more online these days, especially on Twitter, something that they appreciate more is those two types of DOMs. There's the strict dom that you just described, and then there's the playful teasing dom that you just described. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me more about those two different personas and what kind of distinguishes them.
The strict dom, I feel like, is the authoritative, classic look of what people think doms are, right? They think, oh, wow, she's going to be a teacher that's going to punish the student, or the, the whips and the chains and those types of role play. Where for the teasing, playful one, I would be the student and they would be the teacher, and I'll just switch the roles of like, oh, wow, you're not going to give me an A? I mean, I'm pretty sure I could get an A if I do this. I know you want to. And that's just, for me, way more fun. It's like flipping the roles, right? It's the changes in what people think are authoritative roles and whatnot. And just completely knocking people off of their high horse, per se, and then putting myself on.
Mm-hmm. So then, as we sort of look outward, what is up next for you?
I will be doing a West Coast tour, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. Now that everyone is vaccinated, or most people are vaccinated, and travel bans are lifting and I feel more comfortable, I'll be doing that in July and parts of August in Hawaii. And then in September, I will be going to the East Coast with DC, New York, Boston, and Pittsburgh. So yeah, that'll be super exciting.
And are you gonna, you already talked about creating some content on video, but it sounds like you're doing some collaborations with our mutual friend Diaper Perv. Any other collaborations with her or anyone else coming up?
Since we live literally like around the block from each other, it's super easy. We're always going to be collaborating. It's also really fun. And then I will be collaborating with Men Are Slaves coming up next week in LA. So yeah. There'll be plenty more though, as I travel more, just everywhere.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I always ask the last couple of questions to wrap these things up, but who are some of your favorite content creators and models out there today?
Ooh, model content creators. Okay, Miki Aoki has changed the face of porn, really. Her editing skills has just blown everybody out of, you know, the waters. The editing, the effects, she really gives it her all, and you get like a legit movie type of feel with her content. And it's not only that, but she's like incredibly smart, and everything that she says, you're just completely weak for her. It's incredible. Very mesmerizing. Let's see. Who else? I really enjoy Mixtrix. She brings a certain flair to her content. She also creates diaper content, where it's just like, it's just her and it's boldly her. And I love that about it. It's just like, here I am. This is what you get. Take it or leave it. And it's so good to see that type of confidence. And it's not like creating and curating content for people specifically like, oh, let me just appease everyone. It's like, no, it's out there and it's, I love it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with both of them and I really do enjoy their work too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of all that I had on my mind today. And I really appreciate your time, taking out this time for us on a Saturday. Anything that you would like to remind folks of? Why don't you go ahead and just remind folks first off of where they can find your content?
You can find my content. Well, you can find everything off of my website, missmailing.com, MissMailing. From there, it'll link you to my I Want Clips and Clips for Sale. I will be opening up a mini vid soon. And then you can follow me on my socials. Twitter is Miss Mailing, and for Instagram, it's Adorable Dom. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate your time, and I hope you have a great weekend and some great sessions and video play coming up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.